Matthew chapter number 14. Give me a little bit of volume, not a whole lot, please, a little bit on this. Matthew chapter number 14 this morning. I'll be honest with you. I planned on going to Proverbs 31 and just doing what most preachers do on Mother's Day and talking about how to be a good woman, a virtuous woman. And really, it might have been all right. I don't know, but it's not in my heart. I got something else in my heart this morning. Amen. And so I'm going to do my best to be obedient to Him. Yes. And this may go real good or real bad. Depends on how you receive it, but I can promise you this. The Lord has put it in my heart. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I will not get done this morning. The Lord had me up most of the night. And I'm going to try to give you what He's put in my heart. Matthew chapter 14, look with me in verse number 1. Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible said, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. When he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. His head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. She brought it to her mother. His disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. If I could this morning, I want to start a message and hopefully finish it tonight. God has put in my heart, and I want to preach on this thought. Wicked women, whipped men, and wounded preachers. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. God, I pray, Holy Ghost, Lord, that you'd use me and anoint me. I pray, oh God, Lord, that you'd come by our way this morning. And God, that you'd give me that power and that unction, Lord, that only you can. God, if you don't preach me, there'll be no preaching get done. And God, I pray, Lord, the power of God would be on this and in this and on me, Lord, this morning. God, please help us as only you can. God, speak to our hearts, open our hearts, and minister to us. We'll thank you for all that's said and done. We bless your lovely name in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Wicked women, whipped men, and wounded preachers. If I could this morning, I want to remind you by way of introduction that it's here in our text where we do find the story of the great John the Baptist and his death. The Bible lets us know that without a doubt, John was one of God's most choice men. As a matter of fact, the Bible lets us know in Luke's gospel and in Matthew's gospel, but it says in Luke 7:28, I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. My friend, if there's ever been a man of God to turn the world inside out for the cause of Christ and pave the way for the Messiah to come on scene, it was John the Baptist. And it's here within our text that we find that this great preacher is now faced with death just for doing what God has called him to do. You know the story of John. He comes out of the wilderness. He's preaching on sin. He's got locusts hanging out his mouth and honey in his beard. And his message is one that's very simple. Repent. May I say this morning, the Baptist preacher rolls out of the woods and he's got a cry from another world. My friend, it's here that John the Baptist has been called and commissioned and ordered by God to approach the man by the name of Herod and confront him about his sin with his brother's wife, which was Philip, by the name of Herodias. May I say this morning, our dear brother, my friend, John the Baptist is faithful to do that which God has called him to do. You can go back to the beginning of John and his ministry, and you'll find that he baptizes people left and right. He's rebuking Pharisees and Sadducees. He goes as far to call them vipers and snakes, and all in the same breath, he's beholding Jesus in the River Jordan, and he looks up in John 1:29 and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." May I say, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's never been another greater than John the Baptist. Oh, John is a sight to behold. He's God's man. He's used by God, loved by God, and hated by the world. May I say this morning, the more he preached on sin, the more they hated him and they came against him. And the more he preached on the Savior, the more they caused trouble and persecuted him. But thank God, John was a Holy Ghost preacher and he stood in the face of adversity. He preached in spite of his enemies. He stood when nobody else would. He was willing to do that which no other man was willing to do. We thank God for the old time Holy Ghost preacher. But may I say from the start of this deal here in our text, things are all messed up. Things in this text we begin to read, and some of y'all know I've preached from this text before, and God's given me a message. I've preached it everywhere, but I don't know why, but the Lord told me last night, I said, you need to go revisit that. And boy, it's opened my eyes to completely new things. Can I say this thing from the start is messed up. It's a twisted situation. Herod has now taken his brother Philip's wife. I mean, this is his flesh and blood brother. And he's took his wife, and he's begun to commit fornication and adultery with this woman by the name of Herodias. And then we've got the twisted fact that Herodias has begun to train her daughter to be a manipulative murderer. I mean, think about the situation. Here's Herod, and he's sleeping with his brother's wife, and that woman that's committing fornication and adultery with her husband's brother is training her daughter to be a manipulative murderer. And John the Baptist, in the midst of all this, God sends him a preacher, and he's tied up, locked away, and eventually beheaded because of the whole twisted family, my friend, and their desire to sin and to please herself. I mean, the whole story is backwards, and it's belittling to God himself. May I say, as I've preached from this text before, God showed me some different truths. But my friend, this morning, I'm going to tell you something. This text has been divided up into three parts, and one of them is by the first part's the wicked woman. There's a wicked woman here. Her name's Herodias, my friend. And then there's a wicked man. His name's Herod. He can't tie his shoes without worrying about pleasing that woman. That's so wicked. He can't turn around without trying to satisfy her. And he would lay aside everything he knew was right for the sake of this wicked woman. And you know who gets the bad end of the deal at the end of it? My friend, it's the preacher. A wounded preacher, my friend, is the end result of a wicked woman and a whipped man. May I say, as I begin to study this and ask the Lord to help me, he really began to give me the thoughts that I'll bring forth to you today. May I say this morning, we need to evaluate ourselves in light of the scriptures this morning. My friend, we need to digest the truths of God's word that stands. stand before us this morning. And so by the help of the Lord, I want to start preaching this morning on this thought: a wicked woman whipped men and a wounded preacher. First of all, this morning, part number one, I want us to look, if we could this morning, let's look at this wicked woman. Notice, first of all, I want to say this morning that this wicked woman possessed a soul that was unregenerate. This wicked woman possessed a soul that was unregenerated. Look in verse number 3. The Bible said, "For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife." May I say that Herodias is unregenerate because she's unrepentant. Did you know there's no way of you obtaining life and there's no way of being saved when you're not willing to hear and heed to the preacher and the message that God has put in his heart? Did you know, my friend, without repentance there is no redemption? My friend, without conviction there is no conversion. And here we find a wicked woman possessing a soul that is unregenerated. In other words, she would rather enjoy her own sin more than she would embrace a Savior. In other words, my friend, John's message in verse 1 and 2 was Jesus and repentance. And in Matthew chapter 3, it's repent. But my friend, this wicked woman, my friend, would reject repentance and embrace her own ruin and her own rebellion. Can I say this morning, in order for one to be regenerated or redeemed by God's grace, there must be an act of repentance. You must repent of your sin before you can get saved. I have about had it, and I know the Lord has. Our churches are full of false gospels where all you've got to do is know in your mind that Jesus came and died and rose on the third day. And if you believe that's so, and you think it's a good story and everybody wants to go to heaven, just say this prayer and you're well on your way. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we must repent of ourselves and of our sin and repent towards God for salvation. This wicked woman's soul is ungenerate. My friend, is unrepented and ungenerated. My friend, in Matthew chapter number 3, we find this: John's preaching the kingdom doctrine. The kingdom of heaven is being preached, and John says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? Well, the kingdom doctrine of the kingdom of heaven being physical, the physical kingdom, that Jesus was soon to show up, and guess what he did for the first time? John introduced the Savior. But my friend, here's a wicked woman who could care less about this Lamb, who could care less about life, who could care less about knowing God. She would rather sin and please herself as she would be saved. That's a wicked woman. Can I say our doctrine of salvation, I understand, it's not the physical kingdom, kingdom of heaven doctrine, I understand that, but the process, the pattern is simply the same. John's preaching, you got to be repentant. You've got to repent. You've got to repent. May I say, this morning we are living in a day and hour, just like this wicked woman, where man wants no part of righteousness. She was pleased to be a homewrecker. That's a wicked woman. That's a wicked woman. Secondly, I want to say this. This wicked woman, not only did she possess a soul that was unregenerate, but secondly, this wicked woman pleased self, and she was unfaithful. This wicked woman pleased self, and she was unfaithful. Look at verse number 3. I'm going somewhere. Y'all just going to have to hang tight today and tonight. Verse number 3 said, "For Herod had laid hold on John, bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her." Notice whose wife she is. It is not Herod's, it's Philip's wife. Can I say, my friend, there's never been a day and hour where so many people, both fathers and mothers, are living their lives for themselves at the expense of their own families. Listen to me. This applies to, in our text, both to the sensual sin of unfaithfulness and the sexual sin of unfaithfulness. But what about the spiritual sin of unfaithfulness? May I say, my friend, that self-pleasure will always produce unfaithfulness. I need you to hear me. I'm talking about a wicked woman. Why is she wicked? Because she's full of self-pleasure and she's unfaithful. That's why she's wicked. Can I say, my friend, we're sure enough living in the last days, just like the Bible said it would be in the days of Lot, in the days of Noah. My friend, Luke's gospel said in Luke 17, and it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Oh, my friend, Paul says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. May I say, because this wicked woman is unfaithful, not only does her home bust up, but now her heart's bound up. Listen to me, friend. You will bind yourself up through and by sin. My friend, you may be here today and you say, preacher, I ain't guilty. I've been faithful to my spouse. I'm off the hook today. Well, I want to ask you something. Have you been picking self-pleasure up more and over the things of God? Would you rather do what you want than what He wants? Would you rather please yourself as to please Him? May I say, if you're saved by the good grace of God and you possess that heart of unfaithfulness, and you'd rather do what you want as what He wants, can I say, if you're saved, you're His bride, and you might, my friend, are committing spiritual adultery. Oh, God, help us in these days. We need some mothers and we need some fathers to live righteous, sanctified, separated, holy lives before God. Our children are at stake. Our homes are at stake. Our church is at stake. The future's at stake. You cannot live a self-willed life of self-pleasure and unfaithfulness to God. Amen. You'll live a wicked life. Right. Did you know, my friend, when you please self and pursue sin over being faithful to your Savior, you too are guilty as charged.
Right. Yes, sir.
This wicked woman both preferred self and pleased self more than she preferred Spirit-filled preaching.
Amen.
Boy, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I need a little help today. Hello. She preferred sin and self over preaching.
Yes, sir.
You know what preaching will do, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You know what it'll do? It'll expose those things in your life.
Right.
And you will be faced with a choice.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to continue to please self and be unfaithful to God, or will you repent of your sin and get things right between you and the Lord? I want to give you something thirdly this morning about this wicked woman. This wicked woman produced seed that was unruly. This wicked woman produced seed that was unruly. Look in verse number 6. The Bible said, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Look down in verse number 10. And he sent beheaded John to prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. My friend, this wicked woman, my friend, produced seed that was unruly. May I say, Christ rejecting parents will always, almost always, produce rebellious children. My friend, I know it's Mother's Day, but you know what your children need more than they need you to be a friend to them, Mom? They need you to be a mom. They need you to be a God-fearing, Holy Ghost-filled, my friend, mother to them. God has not called us to be their buddy. My friend, I love my kids. And I'll even refer to my son sometimes as he's my best friend and my buddy, and he is. But my friend, at the same time, I'm his father, and it's up to me to sow into his life and to train him and to correct him and to discipline him. I don't want my seed being unruly this morning. Amen. This wicked woman produced seed that was unruly. Not only does this wicked woman condemn herself by her self-pleasure, but she's also condemned her own daughter.
That's right.
She's turned her daughter into a preacher killer.
Yes.
Is everybody listening?
Yes, sir.
She's turned her daughter into a preacher killer. May I say, if we've ever needed godly mothers and fathers, we need them now. Our children are going haywire, friend. This generation, our children are growing up to hate God and the things of God, and our children are going to end up in hell if somebody don't learn how to say no to self and yes to God. Hey, we need to make it our obligation to show the way of Christ to our children.
Yes.
I don't want my kids to turn out to be preacher killers.
No, sir.
Are you listening? I don't want my children to turn out to be that one that's been trained to. You know what she done? She trained her how to deceive the preacher. She trained her how to disregard and disrespect the preacher. She trained her how to disobey the words of the preacher. And what I mean by that is this: not my opinion, but what God's given me to preach. It's the word of God. It ain't my words, but it's the words that I speak. And this wicked woman has produced a seed that is absolutely unruly and unrighteous. She's produced seed that was unruly. Can I say this morning, fourthly, this wicked woman persecuted God's servant unrelentingly. That means not relenting, having no pity, hard, cruel. It means not yielding to pity. It means not yielding to circumstance, inflexibly rigid as unrelenting rule. It means absolutely without any regard or remorse. Is anybody listening?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, this wicked woman persecuted God's servant unrelentingly. She had absolutely no second thoughts. No mercy. No nothing. There was nothing in her mind that wanted to withdraw or stop what she has just done. Now listen to me. This wicked woman, she persecuted God's servant. This wicked woman paid it no mind not only to persecute and imprison John the Baptist, but she equally did not care to take away his own life. Think about that. Can I say this? You need to hear me. Where there is no fear of God. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Where there is no fear of God, there is no limit to sin.
That is right. That's exactly right.
She did not fear the Lord.
No, sir.
Where does it stop when you lose your fear for God?
It don't. It spirals down.
How far will you go? Well, apparently you can go so far as to murder a man.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Apparently you can go as far as to on purpose manipulate your children.
Right.
So they'll turn out to be as manipulative as you are.
Amen.
Say on, preacher.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Can I say this wicked woman has just claimed the life of John the Baptist?
Oh. Yep.
And again, Matthew 11:11, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not been risen a greater than John the Baptist. That's God's opinion.
Right.
God said he's the greatest that's ever been born. And you know what Herodias said? Who cares?
Right. You're right. Yeah.
My Lord, friend, she persecuted. She took the life away of God's servant unrelentingly without regard or regret. Can I say this morning? Those who live your life for self-pleasure, you'll always turn out to be wicked.
Amen.
You'll turn out to be wanted.
Come on, preacher.
Not in a positive way. You'll be wanted by God, the wrath of God.
Amen.
You know what they put above the heads of criminals on posters at Walmart? Wanted. Do you want to live with the thumb of God over your life as being wanted and pursued by the wrath and the judgment of God? If you'll keep living for yourself, my friend, that's exactly where you end up.
Yes,
wayward. Let me ask you a question. What kind of influence have you left on your children?
Good.
What kind of influence have you left on your grandchildren? We're here to honor mothers, and we've done that.
Right. Yes, sir.
But what kind of preacher would I be just to honor and not tell you how to remain honorable?
Yeah. Yes,
exactly. And I know it ain't just moms. I'm preaching to everybody, but let's apply it.
Sure.
You know what we need you to be, ladies? Holy and honorable.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Spirit-filled.
Yes.
Sold out to Christ. Do you really want to produce a dancing daughter?
It's good, preacher.
Do you want to produce a manipulative murderer of the things of God and the men of God? How wicked a woman the Herodias was. May I say this morning, when we look over this, we find that this wicked woman was followed, pursued, craved by a whipped man. And the product of the wicked woman and the whipped man is a wounded preacher. You know what will happen if you live your life as this wicked woman and the man lives his life as the whipped man? Not only is there a wounded preacher, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but what about those that love that preacher? They were hurt by that. Let me ask you something this morning. What are you bringing to the table as a mother?
Good.
What does your children see in you?
Yeah, right.
Every time John would preach, and especially here when he confronted their sin, you know what the daughter of Herodias seen? Rejection.
Yeah.
Rebellion. Ruin. Unrighteousness, unruliness, an unregenerate, wicked woman. Mama, it's your job to be the heart of the home.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yep. The husband is the head.
Yes, sir.
The mother, the wife, is the heart.
Right. Amen.
You want to know why this whole family is all out of whack? You want to know why this whole story is twisted and corrupt? Look at the heart. May I say, the Bible said that all issues of life.
Yes, sir.
You know
where
they come from?
Yes, sir.
Can I say our homes would be in better shape if the heart of the home was right with God?
Amen. That's right.
Listen to me this morning. You know, you've heard me preach it. You've heard everybody preach it your whole life. You better get your what right with God. You better get your heart right.
Yeah.
If the woman is the heart of the home, I wonder what the heart of the church is. All the church is the homes coming together. Would you agree?
Amen.
That's why we say things like, the church is only going to be as strong and as good as the homes that represent it.
You're right.
Can I say that the heart of the home and the heart of the church lies within you.
Right. It's good, preacher.
You know, a lot of things that men do are a direct product of what kind of heart they are dealing with, or what kind of heart is in the home.
Amen.
Behind every good man is a what?
Good or bad one.
I'm going to tell you something. Behind every wayward man, wicked man, is also a woman. What difference are you making in the lives of your children and in the lives of your husband?
That's good.
This woman could care less about her husband.
Right.
Matter of fact, she could so care less about him, she threw him to the curb and chased his brother.
Yeah, right.
And look how chilled. You say, well, it don't matter. I mean, how I live, I'm sick of it. I ain't going to do it. I ain't holding it together. I can't take no more. Listen, you may survive it, but your children may not.
Right.
And here Herodias has absolutely tainted, stained, and corrupted her daughter. You want to know why? She's a wicked woman. A wicked woman. I really don't want to dive into the second part just yet. But we'll look at it briefly. Let's look at this whipped man. There's a wicked woman here in our text. But then we find the whipped man. May I say, first of all, the whipped man had a guilty conscience. Look at verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist, he's risen from the dead. Therefore, mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John, bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Can I say this morning? According to our text, Herod, in verse number 2, said, "This is John the Baptist, he's heard of the fame of Jesus." He said, "My Lord, John must have got up from the grave. I mean, he's doing more." Listen, he said, "He's risen from the dead. Therefore, mighty works do show themselves in him." Listen, he says, "My soul, there's something to this name of Jesus." It was so convincing and had so much power. And he was so persuaded. He did not just give credit to the other disciples. He assumed it was John that had got up from the dead. In other words, he knew better than to do what he was doing.
Amen.
He had at some point been convinced and persuaded by the fact that Jesus was being famed and noised throughout the land. There were mighty works that followed him, and now he's got the blood of John the Baptist dripping from his fingers.
Right.
Can I say this whipped man had a guilty conscience? He knew better than to do the things he had done, but he's so whipped by Herodias that he done them anyways. Now listen to me right here. Men of that nature will live their entire life in regret.
Yes.
Ladies, your husband may never tell you, but if this is the way your home is out of order, he can't stand 95% of his life. I don't know how else to tell you. There's been conversations and there's been counsel from this church over the years. And ladies, some of you, your husband is absolutely miserable and he won't even tell you. Now, I'm not putting it all on you. He needs to take over.
Amen.
Thank you all for two or three help right there. He needs to take over.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
But you want to know why this man lived his life? He knows better. What I'm trying to get you to see is he knows. He's been persuaded and convinced that there's something to this Jesus and John the Baptist, but he does. Look down. I'm just going to show it to you because I'm making it up. Look down in verse 9. And the king, that's Herod, was sorry.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, for the oath's sake and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given to her. Talking about the head of John. He did not really want to do that.
Right.
He wanted to kill him himself at one point, but then when it came time for the rubber to meet the road, he really did not want to go through with doing this. He knew there was something to Jesus and there's something to John. But he's whipped by Herodias. Therefore, he does something that he'll regret the rest of his life. Can I say, even though Herod and Herodias are not married here, there's still an application to be made. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 5:23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Can I say this? When the home is out of order, the husband will pay the greatest price. Why will the husband pay the greatest price? Because it's on you to lead, not to be led.
Amen.
You will be miserable.
Right.
Miss, have you ever looked out and boy, that ain't what a Mother's Day message, huh? John talked to the Lord about that. Have you ever looked out, maybe in your life or someone else's life, and seen that wicked woman leading that wicked man by the nose?
Yes. Yeah.
Had 2 minutes to evaluate their home.
Yeah.
You know what their children are? Unruly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Because there's no establishment of anything.
You're right.
Have you ever thought about what a man would do just to please and to satisfy himself with a wicked woman? I don't got the message, but I'm going to give you a few that I remember from it. Brother Dax has got it. He ain't never preached it, and he probably needs to. What would a man do for sugar?
Man. Yes, sir.
Think about it. He would lay aside his morals.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what Herod's done.
Amen.
He knows better than to touch God's man, but he wants a little sugar.
Amen.
So he lays aside his morals. He will live in misery. He'll live in misery, friend. Here he is living his life in pure regret and miserable because he's whipped by a wicked woman. He'll give up his manhood. He won't stand up for nothing. He won't stand for right. He won't stand for God. He won't stand in the home. He'll be led around like a little puppy. He won't be a man. Hey, I'm just going to say something. I don't know how to say it. Heather, say it, but say it on me, grocer.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't take that the wrong way.
Run away.
Get a backbone. Hello? I made you nervous right there, didn't I? I made you nervous, but I'm just telling you, there's got to come a day that you quit letting the wicked woman lead you around. He'll commit murder. We just seen it. You know what David done? Because he was whipped by Bathsheba? He killed Uriah. Oh, y'all done died on me. Cut me off. That's all right. I mean, it is what it is. Listen to me. He'll give up his man. He'll commit murder. David kills Uriah. This is a man after God's own heart. Here's Herod, and he is charged with murder because he's whipped. He'll misuse his money. Sir, why do you work 80 hours a week and hand her a check?
Come on.
Because you're with.
Yes,
ma'am.
Hey, man.
Good preacher.
I am trying to help you. I'm not upset. I really am.
Yeah,
man. You know what women struggle with the most? Men, I need an amen right here.
I'm right with you.
Finances.
Yes, ma'am.
Do they not stay stressed out over money?
Yes.
Can somebody give me an amen?
Amen.
And if yours don't, praise the Lord. Mine don't either. You all know why mine don't stress out about it? I don't make her do none of it.
That's why. Yeah, amen. Me too.
She don't pay no bills. I pay them all.
Amen.
She don't worry about it. She don't see if we're in the red line. Praise God. I don't tell her either. Somebody say
amen. Amen.
I take on that weight.
Come on.
Because I feel I can handle it better than she can.
Sure.
I am supposed to lead by example and have faith. And so even when things are not where they ought to be, I'm supposed to have the faith to know it's going to be all right and not even bother her that we're in a bad crisis or a situation. I just take it to the Lord and say, God, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. I need help, Lord. Help my home, help my family, help my finances. I don't even bother her with finances. The only thing I ask of her, and it's not permission before y'all label me as a dictator. She don't have to get permission. The only thing I ask for her is to check with me before making a purchase or buying something just to make sure she don't overdraw us. You with me? It ain't, Daddy, can I go buy a dress? That's not what it is.
Right.
It's this. Hey, I found a dress from Amazon I'd really like to get Mother's Day. Is that okay? Are we good? And I say, yep, we're good.
Right.
That's it.
Amen.
Right. I need a little help.
Yes, sir.
I need a little help.
Amen.
And a whipped man that's manipulated by a wicked woman will misuse the money.
Right.
Hello.
Amen.
Sir. God, dog.
Lord.
Don't come to me griping and bickering that your wife has spent all the money and that you're broke because she's a bad spender and is addicted to Amazon when you won't do nothing about it.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Somebody amen.
I mean, Lord, it's like preaching to a morgue.
It's true.
And ladies, you know better than to blow all the money on Amazon. Quit doing it. Hey, I'm going to give you a piece of enlightening information. You can live without it.
Amen.
I ain't saying you don't have not to get things and take care and have things and enjoy things. If you can afford it, enjoy the blooming onions out of it. But if you're tired, you can't listen. You need to listen to your husband. You need to know that he's not trying to control you. He's trying to keep food on the table. Oh boy, I'm in trouble, ain't I? But see what Herod done here? None of that.
Right.
I know it's not his wife, but let's look at the application. Sure. She leads him around by the nose.
Right.
And he ends up killing a man because of it.
Yes.
Yes. This is his brother. Look what he done to his family, his own brother, for this woman.
Amen.
Hey ladies, if you're married to a preacher, hear me right here. A wicked woman and a whipped man. You know what they'll do? A wicked woman and that man, he will be kept from the ministry. I am not arguing with my wife. I'm about doing what God's called me to do.
Right.
I'm not doing it.
Amen.
I'm not doing it.
Right.
You done rent 1 week, last week, 3 days. What? I mean, don't you know we're here? You are here. Hold the fort.
Right.
You're hard hold. I can't help what God's called me to do.
Come
on tonight. I'm ready.
Right.
I come over to the church
yeah.
And she's letting me go outside and burn garbage. But I need to be at the church. I'm coming to church.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You came up with all these from the ministry.
That's right, preacher.
Boy, there's some young preachers I know.
Yeah.
They hurried into it.
Too quick.
What they found out, she wasn't near as godly as he thought she was. When it come time for him to go to jail 3 nights during the week and preach what God called him to do, and all of a sudden, that one that was praying for him through text messages when she was at mama's is now at the house raising hell that he ain't never home.
Right.
Yeah.
You better be careful.
Yes, sir.
Young girls, you better be careful who you marry.
Right.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Young men, you better be careful who you marry. And listen to me, you don't know them until you marry them and until all the honeymoon's over.
That's exactly right, preacher.
Oh, I know. No, you don't.
Nope.
You don't know.
Nope.
People get mad at me when I say things like that. You don't know them.
You really don't know them.
But let me just ask the married couples. Did you really know your spouse? After about 5 years of marriage, then you found out who you married, didn't you?
Right.
Holy smokes, where'd this cat come from?
Yeah.
Come on. And here's the deal. I'm going to give you a fact. fact. This is a proven fact. I'm not an old man by any means, but I'm telling you something. I'm not the same individual I was in my early 20s.
Right. Amen.
I changed.
Sure.
There's things about me that are different, and I can't control that. Just this week, I had a preacher, had a man come up and ask me, said, Brother, can I ask you something? I said, sure. He said, you're okay. I said, as far as I know, something's different. He said, you just go write you up and chit-chat and talk and cutting up to everybody. I said, you want me to be honest with you? He said, yes, sir. I said, I don't like talking to people no more.
Yeah. Right.
That's the God's honest truth. Well, I told him. I said, but there's nothing wrong with me.
Right.
I said, I've just learned through the years, it's best to sit here and eat my plate of food and watch it off. Because seeing like every time I would say something, they come back up 6 months later, didn't they?
Yeah.
I just shut up.
That's right. Exactly right.
Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm just different.
Right.
You know what I did? I'm just explaining how I changed over here. When I was in my early 20s, there was a young 20-year-old preacher there bopping around, talking to everybody. That was me. Hey, brother, man, you've been doing good. Good to see you, man. I've been watching you on Facebook. Praise the Lord, man. Hey, brother, I see you over at the jail the other night. Hey, how's your life doing? And there really ain't nothing wrong with being friendly. That didn't do nothing to hurt me. Do you know when I speak? When I spoke to you.
Come on, preacher.
You know, right now, after the service is dismissed in Florida, I've shaved a few people right there close to his hand. And I tell you, I got my stuff under the truck to turn the air on. It's hot and sending hells in Florida under a tent. I went to the truck. We drove over and we was the first ones in line a few times for food somebody already made. I'm saying all that to say this. I'm different. Things about me have changed.
All preacher.
Whoever you marry right out of the gate, they're going to change and you're going to change.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm running around at it this morning, I know, but I can help this one here. Listen to me. God will give you a wife and a husband.
Come on, preacher.
Do not rush now. I'm trying to help you.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Don't rush.
That's
right.
Don't rush.
Right.
Don't fantasize that enough. Don't rush.
Right. Right.
Work. You better confirm some things.
Yes, sir.
You better wait on. Look, you better wait on God's green light.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So listen, why I'm burning my lust. That's not a good reason to get married.
It is not. That's right. No, sir.
Well, the actually gets better to marry than to burn. I understand that. But listen to me.
It's not working.
If that's your motive for marriage,
it ain't going to turn out well.
It ain't going to turn out
well. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you something. That lust that you both have and the levels are so high for the first little while, dies out.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I ain't getting too personal, ain't you? Sometimes she's like, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm getting old. Y'all say what you want.
We both.
Hey, man.
I'm hungry. Tired. I love my wife. Don't get me wrong. But things are.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
I'm needy, man.
No, you're putting run away.
Well, I'm trying to pass. I'm really trying to get down where I live.
It'll help us.
Heaven is like. With men led by wicked women, it all turns out bad. And guess who's at the end of this thing? And I'm going to turn it. I'm going to turn it when we get to it. I'm going to turn it. I'm going to turn the direction. We find a wounded preacher.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to make it about him, necessarily. But I'm going to show you some things that will take place because of a wicked woman and a wicked man that will wound the preacher. But he's not really the one that suffers. He's wounded, but he's not the one that suffers. It's those two that suffer. What about that little girl, that dog? I'm done. I've blown the whole thing today.
Good preacher.
What about that daughter?
Yeah.
At the time, she was just manipulative and manipulating because that's all she knew. But I wonder 20 years after that.
Yeah.
When she looked back on that moment where she said, I want the preacher's head. I wonder what it really done to her life. Listen to me, mamas and daddies. I preach it this way when I preach on how to kill a preacher or three don't make the trade. Herodias killed the man of God with her lips because the Bible said the daughter was being there before instructed of her mother. Herodias never laid a finger on him, but she laid her lips against him. Guess who ended up killing the preacher? It wasn't Herodias. She killed him with her life. But the daughter of Herodias, the daughter killed him with her life. She danced. She was seductive. Hello? Well, I'm about to run some people out of the building.
Why do you want to instill that seductive spirit into your children? Why are we opening the door to that?
I want to tell you something. This is going to shock the daylights out of some of you. I preach against all this worldly music and dances and all that stuff. But when it comes time for seeing your problem, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I'm not going to let my kids go. I'm going to explain myself.
Come on now.
Because I've seen a bunch of them blasting through the hell, and then all of a sudden Susie's 18 and senior. Things change, so I'm not going to be a liar. But here's what I am going to do. I'm going to instill in them their whole lives how to go the opposite direction.
Right.
And I'm going to instill them from the age of starting to stand until 18 at senior prom. These things are not good. These things are not so.
Yep.
But let them dress up, make a memory modestly.
Amen.
Make a memory. And have enough instilled into them that they don't go to the after prom.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They're not their fun taking
on that.
Amen.
If y'all fall out when you get mad, I'm just being honest with you. That's my plan.
That's good. That's fine.
Because I'm not an advocate of the music. I'm not an advocate of the dance. I'm not an advocate of that. Here's the deal. The music's playing Walmart.
That's right. You're right.
There's more people naked in Walmart than there probably are at prom.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I'm going to spend their whole lives teaching them to abstain from those things.
Yes.
So when they do engage in it for the first time as a young adult, they can resist temptation.
Right.
Sure, under God, hopefully have enough in them.
They should.
But you know what we're going to have to do? At some point, you've got to let your children say, I choose the Lord.
Right.
That's right. Here, man.
And let me tell you something. All our kids are not always going to say, I choose the Lord. They're going to choose their flesh and they're going to fall.
Right.
They need to.
That's right.
They need to fall.
Yep.
They need to be chastised. They need God to deal with them and convict them. Because the only reason they're doing what they're doing is because of you making them do it, they're never going to turn out.
Amen.
As soon as they get out of your hand, they're haywire.
Yep.
Hello?
Amen.
Man, what a day. A wicked woman, a wicked man, and a wicked preacher. This daughter of Herodias, boy, I don't know how she ended up turning out at the very end of that. But I'm going to tell you something. She had some things in her she wished the God was never with her.
Yeah, bro.
And it was because of the kind of mother she had. What kind of heart does our home say? Let's all say, Father, help us this morning. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name.